Hi, it's Jeff Farley at the Otisville Mount Hope Presbyterian Church on our weekly podcast, Today's Word. We've been looking into the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob, searching along in the book of Genesis. And this week we're at Genesis chapter 42, verses 25 to 38. Joseph gave orders for his brothers' grain sacks to be filled with grain and for their money to be put in their sacks. He also gave orders for them to be given food for their journey home. After this was done, they each loaded the grain on their donkeys and left. When they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get some grain for his donkey, and at once he saw his money bag. "Here's my money," he told his brothers, "right here in my sack." They were trembling with fear as they stared at one another and asked themselves, "What has God done to us?" When they returned to the land of Canaan, they told their father Jacob everything that had happened to them. "The governor of Egypt was rude and treated us like spies, but we told him we're honest men, not spies. We come from a family of 12 brothers. The youngest is still with our father in Canaan. The other is dead. When the governor of Egypt told us, 'I'll find out if you are really honest, leave one of your brothers here with me while you take the grain to your starving families, but bring your youngest brother to me, so I can be certain that you are honest men and not spies. After that, I'll let your other brother go free, and you can stay here and trade.' When the brothers started emptying their sacks of grain, they found their money bags in them. They were frightened, and so was their father, Jacob, who said, 'You've already taken my sons Joseph and Simeon from me, and now you want to take away Benjamin. Everything is against me.' Reuben spoke up, 'Father, if I don't bring Benjamin back, you can kill both of my sons. Trust me with him, and I'll bring him back.' But Jacob said, 'I won't let my son Benjamin go down to Egypt with the rest of you. His brother is already dead, and he's the only son I have left. I am an old man, and if anything happens to him on the way, I'll die from sorrow, and all of you will be to blame.'" So the tables have turned and the mighty have fallen on hard times. It could be a story right out of the newspaper. You remember those, they used to get delivered to your house and you read them so you would know what was in the news? In any case, we all know the story where someone who was hot charging through life hit a brick wall and fell apart. Just this week alone, R. Kelly, the rap artist, is back on trial. Ezra Miller, the young actor, checked himself into a mental hospital, and several politicians' careers went down in flames. It turns out it happens all the time, not only in the newspaper, but in the Bible. We've been looking at the story of Joseph's life, a tale drawn out over pages and pages of Old Testament text that explains God's plan for the salvation of Israel. It's about the raising up of the great-grandson of Abraham, the grandson of Isaac, and the son of Jacob to save the descendants of Jacob, who was also known as Israel, from a famine that would have wiped them out. To be clear, the scriptures are full of these stories where God intentionally uses one willing person to do a task so important that by doing it, God's people are saved. And of course, the opposite is true as well. Some of those who God uses to do tasks are saints. Think Mary, the mother of Jesus. And some are scoundrels. Think King Saul. Joseph, from the biblical account of his life, seems quite frankly to be a saint, again and again doing the right thing by people and by God, though as a teenager he was a jerk. Jacob, his father, however, was a scoundrel. At least it seems that way to me. He was one of those persons blessed by God, not because he was a great guy, but because God had plans for him and his progeny. Remember, Jacob is the guy who cheated his brother out of his birthright and later his inheritance. Then when Jacob met his match in his uncle Laban, who intentionally got Jacob drunk and gave Jacob his daughter Leah in marriage instead of Jacob's beloved Rachel, then turned around and cheated his father-in-law right back by making sure his flocks increased while Laban's didn't. For sure, the story is more nuanced than that. But because of it, it should surprise us not that when confronted with the loss of his son Simeon, kept in jail in Egypt by his younger brother Joseph, last week's sermon, Jacob is not at all concerned about Simeon, only about himself. Yep, it's true. Not all who we may perceive as doing God's work are honorable. Nor do they all understand that, in fact, that's what they're doing. God's work. Wrapped up in their own story and their own glory, they do not see how God is at work, preserving his people in the midst of trial and tribulation. Joseph has survived all that Jacob and his brothers and the slave traders and Potiphar and his wife and jail could do to him, and from it he becomes a humble, generous, strong, faithful man of God. Dressed in the clothes of an Egyptian, speaking Egyptian, his brothers didn't recognize him. But he was still Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob, who worshipped and served the God of Jacob, even if Jacob seemed to do a much less good job of that faithfulness. Jacob, who saw angels ascending and descending on stairs from heaven, and who had his hip put out by one, can only see what he would lose if Benjamin, the son of Rachel, would leave him to rescue his older brother. Joseph's story is that of a huge reminder to us that no matter what circumstances we may find ourselves in, God has got us. God is preparing a way where there seems to be no way. And God may use saints or scoundrels to make it happen for us. A friend recently told me a story of being in a job that was really going nowhere. There were no good promotion opportunities, and he was just burning out. He knew he needed to move on, but he also wanted to provide for his family, so he hung in there. And then he got let go. Why? Well, according to his boss, he wasn't working hard enough, coming in on his days off or staying late to work. And instead of going to his daughter's softball games, he should be there. What's fascinating is that my friend now believes that God was using that boss, jerk as he was, to help him walk away from a job into a position he loves, where he's appreciated, where his time off is honored, and his family is considered an essential part of the team. God has us. God knows us, loves us, and is way ahead of us. That doesn't mean the journey will be easy. It means that the destination is assured. What does the hymn say? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So though the tables have turned and the mighty have fallen on hard times, God has got you. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today for our podcast, Today's Word. If you have questions or comments, you can contact us at otisvillepress@hvc.rr.com or check out our website at www.otisvillepress.org. Thanks for stopping by.